Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're back with another episode of the Blazer Banter podcast. It's been about a month-long hiatus, and we're sorry for that. For those of you who enjoy the podcast, this week we're joined by our old buddy Sean Hyken, who covers the Chicago Bulls for Bleacher Report, as well as the NBA at large for NBC's Pro Basketball Talk. We get the latest on Derrick Rose's recovery. We talk about the playoff races in both conferences. And be on the lookout for another pod later this week. Yo, what up, Sean? How you doing?
I'm all right.
How's the shy?
It's good. Can't complain.
Absolutely. That's good to hear. I'm chilling here, drinking some kombucha. It's raining.
So, you're on that kombucha tip.
I am on that kombucha. I'm on that kombucha afternoon tip because I like my coffee in the morning, but I really am a big fan of kombucha in the afternoon instead of doubling up on more coffee.
Okay.
I feel like that's a move.
Interesting.
Yeah, but obviously there's some interesting things happening in the NBA no one is really paying attention to, because this is the part of the season where no one's paying attention, except
right.
for those of us that cover it.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the West has been jumbled up a little bit, but you're out East. Derrick Rose's return, I feel like it's not getting as much attention just because we've been around this part. So we've been here so many times before. But what's the latest around the Bulls and concerning D. Rose?
Well, he has returned to practice full contact. He played in the 5-on-5 scrimmage today, 4-on-4 scrimmage yesterday. He hasn't we don't know when he's going to return to game. I would doubt that he plays tomorrow in Milwaukee, because Tibbs said that his conditioning is not there yet. And I'm actually going to go to shoot around tomorrow in Milwaukee to see, because he might talk tomorrow. He hasn't talked yet since he got cleared for contact, but it seems like it might be a couple of it might be like a week or two before he actually starts playing in games. But everything I've heard is that he looks good.
You know, this return, I feel like this is, from an outsider's looking in, obviously there's Atlanta, there's Cleveland.
Right.
But I feel like this is the best chance, because even though Cleveland's playing really, really well, or has been playing better, I think the Bulls at full strength could still beat them, just because I think they've got so many versatile big guys.
I think it's certainly possible. It's you know, it would depend on a lot of things. It would depend on, you know, you'd have to have a fully healthy Derrick Rose playing at something close to the pre-injury level Derrick Rose, which is something we just haven't seen for consistent stretches so far. But yeah, I mean, if you just look at the amount of depth and talent that they have, it's, you know, they certainly could win a series against anybody, and I think they feel like they can beat anybody, and, you know, the numbers and the lineup data and the, you know, just the roster and the depth all suggest they could beat anybody, but a lot of things would still have to break right for them.
Now, has Mirotić, why is there not, Is there buzz around coming from the Bulls for him for Rookie of the Year? Does that even matter to them? Because it seems like, of all the players, I mean, obviously he's older, but he plays for a winning team, and I feel like, you know, that should matter.
Well, Tom Thibodeau says he's Rookie of the Year to him, so for what that's worth, his coach has got his back. Now, as far as whether he'll actually win the award, you know, it's something people are talking about a little bit around the team. I think that as far, like, from a standpoint of who the voters are going to vote for, I think, you know, because, you know, he's got the, you know, the hype and the media exposure, it's really going to be I would be really surprised if somebody besides Andrew Wiggins won the award. But, you know, there are other candidates besides just Mirotic and Wiggins. You got to look at Elfrid Payton, and you got to look at Nerlens Noel. But I would say I think Wiggins is going to win, and I probably would vote for him too.
Yeah, if I had a vote, I'd probably go Wiggins. But you know, Elfrid Payton has looked good. He looked really good against the Blazers, but the Blazers defense has been making a lot of people look good lately. But I think Mirotić really deserves a little bit more consideration. He's so versatile. He's been like one of the few constants on that team.
And the thing that's crazy is he's not – I think he's still shooting something like 25% from three-point range. When he came into the league, the three-point shooting was supposedly his biggest strength, and it's really he hasn't even been that good in that area. He's been so good at other things. He's been really good around the basket. He's been good putting the ball on the floor. He's been rebounding great. He's gotten a lot better defensively. He's still not a great defender, but he's a lot better than he was at the beginning of the season. So I think he's a lot more of a complete player than I anticipated early on.
And do they still – I mean – winning the division for them is kind of not even in the picture at this point.
What'd you say?
Is winning the division in the picture for them at this point? I mean,
they are they're 2.5 games behind Cleveland. I mean, it's possible. I would say it's unlikely because the Cavs have the Cavs have all the tiebreakers at this point. As far as I mean, they've. The Cavs have won two of the three games they played so far. They play again on Sunday. But the Cavs have the better division record. The Cavs have the better conference record. And obviously those numbers are incomplete because it's not the season's not over yet. But, you know, between those things, I think it's not out of the realm of possibility. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think the Bulls are pretty locked into the three seed right now.
Now in the East, we're going to talk about the East just for a little bit longer. Obviously, the bottom of it is somewhat interesting, with all those teams fighting for the 8 seed. Uh-huh. There's the Paul George stuff coming out of Indiana, where he was supposed to come back like 2 weeks ago, and then he was supposed to come back like 10 days ago, and then now they don't even know. What's your read on that bottom of the Eastern Conference playoffs, and who do you think kind of comes out of that?
Well, first of all, I think it's a mistake if Paul George decides to come back, because the Pacers aren't winning anything. They're not going to beat Atlanta in a playoff series.
No.
it's just like they almost didn't beat
them last year.
I know. It's like a couple of years ago when there was the question of whether Derrick Rose would come back in the playoffs after that first ACL injury. It's like they weren't winning the title that year. Why would you risk a re-injury and risk like just throwing him right back into the fire in the playoffs? So I feel the same way about that. I think it would be a mistake for them to actually have Paul George play at this point, especially now there's only like 7 or 8 games left in the season. As far as who's actually going to get the 8, I think Charlotte's done. They've just been awful lately. They got blown out yesterday by the Celtics. And the thing that was interesting, and our friend Matt Moore pointed this out this morning on Twitter, despite Michael Kidd-Gilchrist being out yesterday, Lance Stephenson got a DNP CD. So that's not ideal.
That whole Lance situation is...
it's a disaster. So you're basically really looking at, and I don't think the Pacers have enough to really get there. So you're basically looking at Boston versus Brooklyn, and I mean I can tell you who I hope gets in there, and it's not Brooklyn.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in their right mind that enjoys watching basketball.
Right, because I mean if you look at what the Celtics have, like, they're obviously they aren't going to do anything against the Hawks either, but you know, I'd like to see Isaiah Thomas in a playoff series. He's never been in a playoff series. I think Marcus Smart is going to be great in the playoffs. The Celtics at least have guys on their team that you can look at and say, oh well, you know, they're not going to win anything this year, but it's going to be fun to see these young guys get some playoff experience. Avery Bradley, now that he's, you know, one of the veteran guys on the team instead of one of the younger guys, I think that would be really cool to see. So I'm kind of, you know, as much as you know, we like to be objective about this and not root for teams or against teams. I'm hoping Boston pulls out with the 8 seed. I don't want to have to deal with pretending to think Brooklyn is relevant for another 2 weeks.
And I want to see Brad Stevens.
Yeah!
I want to see Brad Stevens in a playoff series.
I do too.
That would be fun. Brad Stevens against Coach Bud. That'd be a fun little battle. Kelly Olynyk going white Canadian Jordan on the Hawks would be fun. You
Jay
know.
Crowder, who is the most polarizing player in the NBA currently.
I've missed this. I think I might be the only person that has like no opinion on Jay Crowder.
I don't really have a strong opinion on Jay Crowder either. I think he's a fine eighth or ninth man, like energy guy off the bench. But like in the Paroxysm email thread, there's this raging. It's not even a battle because it's basically like there's a contingent of Celtics fans. Like this is something Bill Simmons has been pushing. Like there's a contingent of Celtics fans that think that Jay Crowder is like a legit piece for like their future.
Yeah.
And that he's you know, he's important and that he's going to get a lot of money this summer as a free agent, which I don't think so. I don't think that's really the case. I think he's an okay role player, but there's kind of a Jay Crowder backlash going on, I guess, in that little bubble just because you know the Celtics fans are kind of overvaluing him. But yeah, Jay Crowder in the playoffs is going to be kind of a make or break for his career and his reputation, obviously, as it always is.
Who knew that the Eastern Conference playoffs would become a referendum on whether Jay Crowder is going to get a big money deal or not?
Can Jay Crowder swing a title series? We may find out. The numbers may surprise you.
It really makes you think.
Yeah.
Miami, obviously, I want Miami-Cleveland.
I think everybody wants Miami-Cleveland. It sucks. I mean, obviously, it sucks that Chris Bosh. Shout out to Chris Bosh.
Shout out to Chris Bosh. Yeah.
It sounds like he's going to be back for next season. So you know, get well soon, Chris. But other than that,
shout out to Kevin Durant as well.
Shout out to Kevin Durant. Shout out to Craig Sager.
Shout out to Craig Sager. Yes, get well soon, Sager Strong.
Yeah. So with that out of the way. You know, yeah, the Miami-Cleveland matchup is going to be interesting. Dwayne Wade has been playing, like, out of his freaking mind lately. Like, that's really what's been keeping the Heat in that 7 seed. It seemed like a couple weeks ago, it seemed like they might actually fall out of the playoffs, but I think they're pretty, you know, what are they? They're a game and a half ahead of Boston and Brooklyn, who are tied for the 8 right now, basically, more or less. So I think they're pretty locked into the 7. So it seems like they're pretty. It seems like that's going to happen. And now it's just. I mean, I think a lot of that is just because Dwayne Wade has just been phenomenal lately, and you know, Dragic just fit in well. Whiteside, when he's not getting ejected, is playing well.
I'm bummed about Milwaukee.
Yeah, they had so much. They were so much fun before the trade deadline. And I get why they did the trade. Like, I on an intellectual level, I get it. Like, they maybe didn't want to pay Brandon a max deal, and they wanted to, you know, they thought maybe, you know, Jason Kidd sees a lot of himself in Michael Carter Williams, and I get it. I don't like it. I get it. I don't like it. But I get it.
Yeah, like exactly on a philosophical level, from a front office perspective. You totally see why they went down that path.
But the thing that really kills me about it, though, and I mean, I don't want to just like rehash this trade because the trade deadline was like a month and a half ago. But from what different things I saw, and I think it was Zach Lowe that reported this. It might have been someone else, but I think Zach talked about it. The Bucks could have had, if they had not wanted to take MCW, they could have had that Lakers pick from the Suns. Instead, I would rather take the Lakers pick than Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah, and Hinkie just floats over and just snatches it right out of their hands, and the Lakers get a must lose game last night, and that also, if I'm not mistaken, also helps the Sixers because that increases the Lakers' chances of falling out of the top five.
Right.
So, I'd rather have the Lakers pick than Michael Carter-Williams. I mean, the fact that Hinkie wanted the Lakers pick instead of Michael Carter-Williams probably should have told them all they needed to know.
Right, because if Michael Carter-Williams was somebody that Hinkie saw as a piece for his future, he would have kept him because he's still on a cheap contract for another couple of years. But as far as like the Bucks, you know, the trade is what it is. The trade, I don't want to just get into just debating this trade that happened a month and a half ago. But as far as Milwaukee in the playoffs, they're pretty locked into the sixth seed right now. And if the standings hold, they're gonna get the Bulls, which personally I'm happy about because that means I'll get to go to all of the away games for the Bulls series, not without too much trouble.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I'm looking forward to that, but it's not going to be a very competitive series. The Bulls have kind of just handled them this year. Pau Gasol had his 46-point game against the Bucks earlier. It's not going to be a very long series. It would be so much better if Jabari Parker was playing.
Yes. On top of the fact that it'd be an actual matchup, there's the hometown angle.
Right, because he's from Chicago.
Yeah, I am excited for playoff Giannis. That'd be
playoff
cool.
Giannis.
That'll be cool to see playoff Giannis. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm kind of excited for the East playoffs, even though Toronto and Washington have really just.
That series is gonna be a disaster. That's gonna be your NBA TV series right there. Is it? Maybe.
No, it was made for NBA TV.
Is it that though? Is that gonna be the NBA TV series, or is it gonna be Hawks? Brooklyn or Hawks Pacers.
If it's Hawks Brooklyn or Hawks Pacers, that's automatically going to go to NBA TV.
But yeah, Wizards Raptors is just awful. There's nothing. I mean, both of those teams have just fallen apart, and I don't know. I mean, I think it seems like people are finally starting to figure out that Randy Whitman isn't actually a good coach.
Yeah, he got to play. They won it. It was so weird too. Like, they won a series against the Bulls last year, who
right.
were not what Noah was not healthy.
Noah wasn't healthy. Rose obviously wasn't playing. Yeah. Then they just Nene and Gortat. They also didn't have Pau Gasol. They had Carlos Boozer instead of Pau Gasol.
Boom.
In that spot, and then the one game that the Bulls won was because Mike Dunleavy went off for what I think he had like 35, 36 points. So they just got owned by the Wizards in that series, and you know Nene just worked their big men, and it's just this is not the same Wizards team anymore. And I mean Paul Pierce is there and he's been pretty good for them, but like I just think they've stagnated, and I don't think their bench is good enough to really win a series. They might beat the Raptors because the Raptors are also not in great shape right now, especially if Kyle Lowry's not healthy. They probably don't have much of a chance, but. You know, it's just, I mean, I love the backcourt matchup, but there's really not a lot else there to really like for either one of those teams. Valanciunas hasn't developed the way that we kind of hoped he would. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to that series at all.
You're not looking forward to the Tyler Hansbrough-Chris Humphries matchup off the bench?
Oh, man, that's going to be a game changer.
Yeah, two of the most disliked players in the league going at it.
How do people dislike Chris Humphries?
I don't know. It's just because
it's just because he was married to Kim Kardashian?
And the thing is, like, you should be cheering him because he got divorced after, like, 70 days.
Yeah, he got in and got out. Like, you can't hate on that.
No.
He was married to one of the biggest celebrities in the world. No, and, like, someone who wound up to being married to Kanye. Like, you can't even be mad at that.
No.
But, like, I mean, with Tyler Hansbrough, I get it because he's kind of a dirty player, and you know, I can see how he kind of gets under people's skin, and you know, opposing fan bases don't like him. I get that. The Humphries thing, I don't get. It just seems like it's jealousy.
Oh, totally. And he's like kind of a nice player. Like, he's not bad.
He's as your fourth big off the bench. There are a lot worse. You could do a lot worse than Chris Humphries.
Absolutely. And yeah, that series is not going to be fun to watch. I don't know where I heard it first, but can we get Mike D'Antoni to Washington, like, now?
That's not a bad idea. That's a really good idea. Obviously, the ideal fit for them would have been George Karl if they had not given Randy Whitman a contract extension. They could have had Karl, and Karl probably wanted that job.
Oh, totally.
But obviously, he's off the market now because he's in Sacramento. But, yeah, you know, D'Antoni with John Wall, I like that fit. John Wall seems like a D'Antoni-type point guard.
I mean, yeah, exactly. He just hunts for three-point shooters and gets to the rim and super fast. Like, I want that. I want that.
That's a great fit, and I think D'Antoni can be successful again as a coach if he has the right roster. And obviously, the Lakers were nowhere close. The Lakers roster that he had was a disaster for his style, and the Knicks for the most part weren't a great fit with him either. At least the Knicks post Melo trade, they had that one pretty good year that year before they traded for Carmelo. That good half year where Amari was basically playing like an MVP candidate, but basically since the Melo trade, the Knicks weren't really the right kind of roster for him either. The way that Phoenix was back in the mid 2000s. Shout out to Steve Nash too, by the way.
Shout out to Steve
while
Nash.
We're doing shout outs, but I think the Wizards would be a better fit for him, and you know that's certainly someone they should consider.
Yeah, it'd be great to see D'Antoni back in the game. I always loved, D'Antoni was great. And the thing was, too, even last year, like, you'd watch the Lakers, and they were just awful. And they'd still play, like, somewhat entertaining basketball. Like,
right, and he's good at getting guys to, like, I mean, if you look at, like, Kendall Marshall is still in the NBA because he played for Mike D'Antoni last year. He was sort of like Tibbs West in terms of, the way that Tom Thibodeau would always get, like, you know, DJ Augustine and Nate Robinson, and this year our boy Aaron Brooks, go Ducks. And, you know, last year, you know, they pick up Kendall Marshall off the scrap heap. He has a pretty good year.
Yeah, Kendall Marshall.
So he gets, like, he's not the – I mean, obviously it was a disaster with D'Antoni because, you know, he and Kobe didn't get along, and then you have him trying to use Powell in ways that weren't really advantageous to Powell. And it was just – it was not a great fit. But if you look at their young guys, Wesley Johnson had a pretty good year for them. I mean, a relatively good year for Wesley Johnson. I'm not saying he's, like, a great player or anything, but he had the best year of his career probably. Kendall Marshall resuscitated his career They've got other guys, young guys develop well under D'Antoni, and because he just kind of gives them freedom to go out and like play through mistakes. I think he'd be good for Wall and Beal. I think Otto Porter would probably benefit from having someone like him.
Yeah, I'd really like to see D'Antoni back in the game with a real team that suits his style.
Mm-hmm.
But to the West.
Okay. Let's talk about actual and like
yeah, real
high level. Let's talk about actual high level basketball.
Yes, to the West. So obviously Golden State is amazing.
Yes.
Do you see anybody beating them?
Maybe San Antonio.
That seems to be the prevailing wisdom that's going around is maybe San Antonio. Memphis.
I thought Portland had an outside chance before the Wesley Matthews injury, but that's kind of not happening anymore.
No.
The Blazers, if the Blazers win a first-round series, that'll be a success for them this playoffs.
Yeah, they could – if they matched up against the – basically, if they matched up against anybody but San Antonio, they'd have a chance to win the series in
right.
the first round. But then after that, it's kind of all bets are off. You know,
yeah, I would be surprised if they got out of the second round.
I would be very, very surprised. You know, and the Clippers, while they are playing well and Chris Paul is amazing –
Their bench is still a disaster,
and then you get into a series against the Blazers, and I just still don't think anybody on their team can guard Aldridge.
No, none of them can.
Honestly, outside of San Antonio and Golden State, I don't think anybody can guard Aldridge in the West.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, I know DeAndre Jordan is, you know, the next Bill Russell, and if he doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year, there needs to be an investigation. But he's not really – if you draw him out of the paint – his main strength as a defender is he's a shot blocker. If you put him on Aldridge out shooting mid-range shots, you know, it's that's not an ideal matchup for him. I don't think Blake Griffin can guard him.
No, I think.
And then other than that, like, is Big Baby going to turn it up on him? Spencer Hawes can't guard him. Turkoglu can't guard him. Ekpe Udo can't. I think it's going to be another huge series. Just kind of the same way that they had no answer for him. Houston did last year.
Absolutely, I think any of those teams, there's not really anybody that can guard him. And even with a Flalo in for Matthews,
right.
you double team, you give up threes. Batum actually looks like Nick Batum.
Yeah, since the All-Star break, he's been pretty good.
So, you know, I think – and the bench is – you know, Portland's bench has actually been playing surprisingly well lately.
Right.
But obviously the benches matter a lot less in the playoffs.
And Portland's bench, as much as Portland's bench on paper is not great, I would still rather have a bench unit of, Chris Kamen and Myers Leonard and CJ McCollum and Joel Freeland and who and Steve Blake. That's a better bench unit to me than Hito Turkoglu and Austin Rivers and Glenn Davis.
Exactly. Those little, say Paul plays 40 minutes or, Paul Griffin and Jordan all play like 40 minutes. There's still going to be 8 minutes where those guys aren't on the court.
Right.
And
especially if Jamal Crawford's not.
Yeah.
And it seems like Jamal might not come back. And if Jamal's not back, because that's the one good bench player that the Clippers have.
Yeah, and they're saying he can't even walk.
No, and so that's really worrying. I think if Crawford doesn't play, then yeah, I would definitely think the Blazers would be the favorites in that series.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm sure that the wisdom around it feels like it's the same as last year when you talk to people, you hear what people are saying about the West that everybody wants to play the Blazers, but the problem with that no one talks about is that Aldridge is literally unguardable.
He is, and he's been. I was so skeptical when he announced that he was going to put off the hand surgery. I thought that was just a bad idea, and I thought maybe best case scenario he does that just to to tide them over until Robin Lopez was back, because he was still injured at the time with the broken hand, but. He has not been affected by it at all. He's as good as he has been this season. He's arguably been better since the injury than he was before.
Yeah,
which is amazing. He's been phenomenal. He's been really carrying them, because even Lillard's been pretty good, but he's also been he's had some stretches where he hasn't been shooting that well. It's really just been Aldridge has been really carrying them even since the Matthews injury.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing that nobody's talking about, that Lillard's production has kind of. Has leveled off quite a bit, from where it was at the beginning of the season. I mean, at the beginning of the season, when he had that month where he had the game winner at OKC and
right.
And the 40 point the 43 against San Antonio, and he was so great at the beginning of the season, and his numbers have improved in certain respects, but I mean his production. It has leveled off a bit, and it's really been one of those stories, obviously, that hasn't necessarily gotten a lot of attention because there's so many great MVP candidates around the league. I mean, it's impossible to crack that top five, really. But Aldridge, should really be getting a little bit more second-tier consideration, at least, because, I mean, he's basically been this whole team. Batum, Matthews, everybody on the team has had ups and downs, whether it's been health or production. And the only constant's been Aldridge the entire time. And he's having a better year this year than he did last year. And last year he was considered more of an MVP candidate. But I don't know if that speaks more to the performances that other guys are having around the league than necessarily him.
Well, you just – right, that's the thing. And I think if you look at, the way Aldridge has kind of kept them competitive since the Matthews injury. But you can't put LaMarcus at the same level as, a Steph Curry or a James Harden or the guys that have, a serious chance of winning the MVP. But, yeah, if you want to talk about, the second-tier guys,
Yeah, with Davis and
Davis and Chris Paul.
Yeah. No, he
I think Aldridge is absolutely in that group.
No, he's
a top he's a top 10 player, I think.
Yeah, I think he got the start in the All-Star game, which was nice for him. He's just been phenomenal, and it'll be interesting to see who they match up against as long as it's really not the Spurs, they've got a chance. Looking at speaking of the Spurs, they're 2.5 behind Houston, who's in the third seed, and they are 3 back of Memphis, and they play Houston twice down the stretch. Do you think that – I feel like they're going to jump into that top three.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
unless Pop does some stealth tanking and rest guys or something to set up a matchup that they want with, something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. I wouldn't be surprised if Pop did that, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they got into the 2 seed, which would be pretty hilarious because they were in the 7 a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing. They've won 3 in a row. They're beating teams by double digits a lot now. I've been thinking about this theory. I have a theory that because Houston relies so much on Harden, and it's not just been this year, it's been his entire Houston tenure, his numbers do take a dip from where the level he's at. It's not to say that he's bad, but he's playing MVP level basketball. If you look at the last 2 Aprils, his numbers have gone down, and his career April numbers are worse than almost every other month that he plays in, at least in terms of shooting percentages and things like that. And last year they had a little bit of a debacle towards the end of the season where they almost lost home court advantage. Obviously we haven't even gone to April yet, but I do think that we should watch out for Harden's production tailing off, because I think that he reaches a breaking point sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think he reached that point before the end of the regular season last year, when, you know, obviously, there's a lot of things that happened. Corey Brewer had the 50-point game against them and, you know, things of that nature. But he didn't look very good in the Blazers series last year. The credit Wesley Matthews, you know, for defending him like hell. But great players don't, you know, great players aren't stopped by one guy. They're stopped usually by themselves.
Right. I agree with all that. I think that I'm not huge on Houston in the playoffs, especially with the Harden stuff is interesting. I hadn't really ever thought about that before with him tailing off. But you know, you also look at, you know, we just still don't know how healthy Dwight is.
Yeah, and that's another thing. And
Dwight basically kept them competitive in this series against the Blazers last year.
Yeah, that's another thing that although the wisdom of, you know, all the numbers point to they are better when they run the offense through Harden because they shoot more threes, they play at a better tempo, they, you know, get to the line, and he's a better free throw shooter than Dwight. But in that series, in the playoffs, Dwight was the only thing that really kept him in it, and Troy Daniels. Yeah, shout out to playoff legend Troy Daniels.
Isn't he in Minnesota now? Is he even in the league?
That is a very good question.
I feel like he's in Minnesota. I feel like he was part of the Corey Brewer trade.
Let's investigate. No, he is with Mo Williams in Charlotte, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, he's in Charlotte? Oh, that's right, because he was within the Mo Williams, Gary Neal trade. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And, I mean, life comes at you fast for Troy Daniels. One second you're hitting game winners, and the next you're hanging out with Lance Stevenson, hoping that your season's probably over because you probably don't want to be there anymore.
We haven't talked about the impact that Tim Frazier is going to have on the Blazers' playoff chances.
We have not. The biggest question I got after that happened, and even it was just, who is Tim Frazier? I didn't know who Tim Frazier was. I asked people around the league, who is Tim Frazier? They didn't know who he was.
I think I had him in WAC Fantasy at one point because I went through like a couple of weeks where I would just pick up anybody the Sixers signed to a 10-day contract.
Yeah, he had like 11 assists or something in his NBA debut.
That's why I dropped him.
Oh, so yeah, obviously he was killing. He had too many good stats for your WAC Fantasy team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Frazier, Terry Stotts talked about it today. They just brought him in to make him part of the program. They had an open roster spot for basically the first time since Olshea had become the general manager.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted to fill it, and also with Matthews down, they need another body for practices, basically.
Right.
But the plan, is it's not really a move to have him as an emergency point guard in the playoffs, because I think even if Blake went down, I think we'd see CJ McCollum run the point for the second unit more, instead of, going to Tim Frazier.
But is his contract, is it just for the remainder of the season, or...
That is what it said in the release, and then also the intention is to bring him into camp next year.
Okay.
For a chance to get onto the team.
So he'll probably be in the Summer League roster this year then?
Yes, he'll be on the Summer League roster. He'll probably be the starting Summer League point guard, I would assume. I think they just brought him in here because they want to teach him the offense, get him used to the culture, get him used to, what they want out of their guys. Maybe the one knock I've heard on him is he's not a very good shooter. So maybe, have some coaches work with him on his jump shot. But yeah, he's not going to be, most likely not going to be a factor, for them at all this season, other than having a guy that they can just having another guy to practice with. The Tim Frazier era begins. He's supposed to be here for the Clipper game on Wednesday. That game should be fun. Both teams are really going to want it because it could decide home court advantage if they end up playing each other, at least for the record's sake. One thing I didn't know, that even if the Blazers lose the season series, because they'll have the division tiebreaker, they'd still host. If they're tied.
I'm pretty sure, if they're tied, they'd still host. If the Clippers have a better record, the Blazers will be the 4 seed, but not have home court advantage, which is weird.
Correct. Yes.
By the way, divisions are stupid.
Yeah, divisions are very stupid.
The Bulls and the Raptors, if the Bulls and the Raptors end up tied, the Raptors will have the tiebreaker because they won their division, even though the Bulls beat them all 4 times they played this season.
And the Raptors division is with 2 teams that are tanking, 1 team that tried to tank, and their coach was just too good to let them tank. And then Brooklyn, who just is, they're just disgusting.
Yeah,
I don't even want to watch the Blazers game in Brooklyn when they go to Brooklyn next week.
I'm going to a Jesse Ware concert that night, so I'm gonna mercifully miss that one.
Good for you. I wish I had a concert to go to, but yeah, Dallas. They're so depressing because this should not be how dirt goes out.
No. Did you see that stat that this is the first time since 99-2000 that somebody besides Dirk has led the Mavs in scoring?
Ugh, so depressing. I'm so sad. I saw a buddy of mine sent me this video. It was like a Dirk compilation set to Shut Up and Dance, and like I almost wanted to cry.
Oh man,
because I'm gonna miss Dirk so much.
We might this is gonna be depressing in a couple of years because Dirk's gonna be gone. Garnett's probably done after this year. Tim Duncan is probably done soon. Ray Allen is basically done. Nash just retired. We really only have left is Kobe. Who knows what Kobe's gonna look like?
Well, apparently Flip Saunders wants to sign Kevin Garnett to a 2-year extension. So.
I saw that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's nice. It's a nice thought that Saunders wants to do that, but I don't think that's really. I don't think it's going to happen.
It shouldn't happen. From a basketball standpoint, I could see him.
Could give him the full mid-level though. That seems like something Flip would do.
Yeah. Flip is. We should stop. They should. Why are owners doing this? Why do owners allow people to wear 2 hats? Like, there's such a track record of it not going well
Really, the only person who's been successful at it over a long period of time is Pat Riley, and then even he decided he wanted to step away from coaching.
Yeah, and I guess technically, isn't Pop technically the president?
Yeah, but RC, he even decided that he couldn't do it, so he brought in RC.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's just too much of a history of guys failing at this. And you know, we love Stan Van Gundy, but waiving Josh Smith was not a smart move in terms of the cap. And I mean, I guess Reggie Jack, well, the jury's still out on Reggie Jackson since he's getting triple doubles. But yeah, it's I don't know why people are doing that still. It seems like there's too much evidence to the contrary that that is just a bad idea.
Yeah, and Doc has obviously been a disaster
Yeah, Doc
as
has
a
been a
GM. He's a great coach, but he's a terrible GM. I think it's pretty safe to say he's like an Isaiah Thomas level bad GM at this point.
Yeah, I think he just traded another second round pick.
For the future, right? Doesn't he have a younger son too?
I don't even know the name of his younger son, but
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. Well, I hope that Doc, at least I hope Doc is going to be an analyst for the Women's World Cup later this summer. That was great when Doc was a soccer analyst for NBC during the Olympics.
I missed that, but that, I mean, that's was he good?
Yeah, he was great. He was just, I don't know why they were just like, let's just get Doc in here, because they had him, I think they had him as an analyst for the Team USA games. And then he was just ended up being in studio for like the women's soccer gold medal match, and he was just all, you know, he was great on TV. Doc can talk forever.
Doc is great. I mean, I loved him as a commentator before he went back into coaching. Is Doc a soccer guy?
He could have fooled me. I mean, he was talking soccer like he was, you know, like he knew what he was talking about. I don't know if he's a soccer guy, but that could always be another career once he decides to, you know, basically when Austin retires, so that he no longer is making sure that he still has jobs in the league. But too bad. Yeah, there's just so much disappointment for me in the West. It looked so good, as like it was gonna be a crazy, crazy playoff, but really it's just down to two teams at this point, unless you know, Memphis can really turn it on again, I think, because I don't see Houston in the playoffs, like you said. And I think Harden wears down. I think they put too much on him. You know, obviously with the Clippers also, there's some important news that we have to discuss, some very, very important news.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're referring to.
Yes, Big Baby was fined for kicking a cushion into the stands.
Turn up.
Rod Thorne has no respect for the turn up.
Big Baby's got to turn it up.
He didn't read the fine print that Big Baby is required to turn it up.
I think this just qualifies under turning it up.
Exactly. I think that they should open up a new branch of you know, the Hall of Fame once he retires, for just turning it up. I think that they should repeat that YouTube video like all day in Springfield.
Yeah.
But
I think that, and then I think somebody needs to just loop that and send it to Big Baby, go and turn it up.
if playoff teams know what's good for them, if they're playing the Clippers, when he comes into the game, they should just play that song.
The Clippers play that song
Really?
when he scores, yeah.
No. I had no idea that they actually did that.
The Magic used to do it, and then the Clippers started doing it.
Well, hopefully, you know, for
That's the
Doc,
reason. That's why he made the song.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that
Yeah.
he made that song to play after Made Baskets. That's pretty impressive. But
Decided he wanted his own jock jam. My favorite part of it was when someone, I think it was Josh Robbins from the Orlando Sentinel, who asked him if he's going to make an album or he's going to do any more music, he was like, nah, man, I'm a one-hit wonder.
Yes, Big Baby is a one-hit wonder in many ways, but more so the musical one. Sean, anything else you'd like to say about the close to the season and, you know, as we head into the playoffs?
I'm really just ready for the playoffs to begin.
Amen.
So, but yeah, it should be a lot of fun. You know, it should be good. You know, the Bulls-Cavs stuff, they're probably going to meet in the second round, so that should be fun. Spurs-Warriors Eastern Finals is going to be great.
Yeah, and, you know, it won't mean much, but some of those other first-round series might be pretty fun, too.
Cavs-Heat's going to be pretty compelling.
Cavs-Heat's going to be great. Great TV. We won't watch Warriors, Wizards, Raptors. Yeah, let's hope that San Antonio gets into the two seed so that we can just guarantee that they won't meet with the Warriors in the second round. Because
that's got to be the conference finals.
That would be the most disappointing way for the West to end, would be to have those two teams face each other in the semis and, you know, kind of prevent us from seeing a great conference finals. But
in a way, I'm kind of bummed the Bulls and the Cavs are going to be in the second round.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm also ready for playoff for this Hawks team.
They're going to be really good.
I'm ready. I'm excited about the Hawks. I don't know if anybody can really beat them in the playoffs. Obviously, they haven't really been there before, and that's supposedly a requirement for moving past that.
The Warriors haven't been there before either, and we all think they're title favorites.
Well, and the when the Celtics got together with those three guys, they hadn't been there before as a group, and they made it all the way and won a championship. So, you know, there's so much proof of it not really mattering that much. I mean, the 77 Blazers didn't really have a lot of playoff experience either, and they won the championship. So there is precedent for that happening, especially when it's just clear how good these teams are. So, yeah, I'm excited for 2 weeks from now, more so than the end of this season. But there's still a lot of interesting things that can happen. We just talked about the West and how San Antonio could probably even be the two seed by the end of this season. So I'm not necessarily excited for the end of the season, but there will be some things of intrigue. So thanks for coming on, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.